Blog Talk Radio.
Walls tumble and fall. Time change, clouds and rain. Through it all, I will stand. Come with me. Through in the past, not today. Cause where there's a will, there's a way. Whoa, I'm gonna hold. Until the finish, I'll be strong. Oceans, strong winds, hills and mountains, sacrifice. Paying the price, yeah. Struggle all your life. Through it all, I will stand. Come with me. Yes, I will. Throw in the towel. No, not today. Cause where there's a will, there's a way. Whoa. I'm gonna hold, hold on, yeah, hold on. I'm gonna hold, hold on, yeah, hold on, hold on. Until the finish, I'll be. And I'm gonna be the first to see the sun. Throw in the towel, not today. I know that where there's a will, there's a way. Oh, I'm gonna hold. I'm gonna hold. I'm gonna hold on. Yes, I am.
Of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his last messenger. And I bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum and Happy New Year, everyone. And thank you for joining us again in this new year. This is the first Thursday broadcast of 2014, and I am so excited about so many changes that we're making in Nation Building Movement, but inshallah for the better. And we're going to start out tonight by meeting two additions to the Nation Building family who just so happened to be the guest panelists for tonight. So, of course, we're going to start out with our beloved brother from Joliet, Illinois, via Texas now, our dear brother Tony Muhammad, who is no stranger to us. Assalamu alaikum and Happy New Year, brother Tony.
Well, alaikum salam, ma'am. Thank you very much. It's an honor again to be on your show and to share some of what we've been taught from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as we've been taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum and Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir. And happy belated birthday that you tried to keep secret from us yesterday. So I'm publicly wishing you a happy belated birthday, Brother Tony. So much
yes,
for
ma'am.
Secrets,
thank
huh?
Yes,
and you can look forward to hearing from this gentleman with me every Thursday this year. He is my new co-host on our Thursday night show. And I forgot to mention that Brother Tony Muhammad has so graciously blessed us with his commitment to be the host of our new Sunday show that's going to be beginning on next Sunday. So, Brother Tony, allow me to welcome you to the Nation Building family and thank you for blessing us with your wisdom and your wit and your grit, as you say. So, welcome to the family and thank you. And, of course, Brother Reginald Wynn, I am so thankful to Allah that I met this brother, and he's shared his story with me, which we'll probably hear sometime later during the year. But he has been a most magnificent and inspirational brother to me just in such a short period of time, so well studied and just always such a gentleman. So, come on, Brother Reginald, introduce yourself to the family.
Thank you so much, Sister Queen, for that awesome introduction. But in the name of Almighty God, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, whose proper name is Allah, who appeared in the personage of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, whom all praises is due forever. For we thank him for finding one among the black man and woman to be his apostle and messenger. And that man is none other than the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ. I further thank Allah for allowing the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to place in his absence to teach, guide, and take us further into the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad by getting us safely across the bridge. That man is the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their names that I greet you all. In the greeting words of peace and paradise, we say it in Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, so now, Brother Reginald, really this topic was inspired by a conversation that you and I had, and just so happened I ran into Brother Tony. And I mentioned to him what the topic was going to be about, and surprisingly to me, of course, Brother Tony, he was informed on this topic as well. So the topic for tonight is Master Farad Muhammad and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And Brother Reginald, you share with me some things that are so identical to our doctrine in the Nation of Islam that I was intrigued enough to do this. So please start off and tell us, about Master Farad Muhammad's association or affiliation with the Witnesses.
Okay, well, I think it would be better, Sister, that we first give the audience an introduction of who exactly Master Farah Muhammad is, and I think Brother Muhammad would be better at go ahead and give the audience, because we have some Christian listeners on the line now, and they're not familiar with Master Farah Muhammad at all, and I think Brother Muhammad would be the best at go ahead and getting that across to them before I go into the history and the parallels of Jehovah's Witnesses and the teachings of the Master Farah Muhammad.
Yes, sir, as you wish. Okay, Brother Tony?
That's a very, very dangerous question. And dangerous because, let me start off by, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. And the reason why I say dangerous is because of a discussion that the sister and I just had recently about elongated answers. So the brother just happened to give me a question that is not that doesn't have a short response, but I'll make it as short as possible.
You have time.
Master Farah Muhammad is the fulfillment of the prophecy that was given to Abraham in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, it was prophesied that the seed of Abraham would go into servitude slavery. After 400 years of slavery, they would be freed. But the scripture says that God would come himself, and he would come to see if the moaning and the groaning that they had suffered was altogether what he had heard. So Master Farah Muhammad is the coming of that one that was prophesied in the prophecy of Abraham in the book of Genesis. I believe it's chapter 13 through 15. He is also from the Nation of Islam perspective, he is also considered the fulfillment of the prophecy of the gods that after a 76 trillion year history of God creating and recreating his universe, it would take 76 trillion years for a perfect being to be born. According to that prophecy, Master Farah Muhammad is the fulfillment of that perfect being that would manifest on the earth, and he within himself would perfect not only the entire creation on the earth, but he would perfect the entire universe.
Yes, sir. All praises to Allah. Thank you, Brother Tony.
I apologize about that, Brother Tony. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. But,
Yes, he did. He meant it. But Brother Tony, let me ask you this, because you and I talked briefly about this. So enlighten us, if you will, on the affiliation of Master Farah Muhammad and the people that we know now as the founders of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, according to the revelation that was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a minister who lived with him approximately 3 years when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad relocated from Chicago to Phoenix, Arizona. It was a brother by the name of Bashir Muhammad. He, a little bit about his history, he was the first, one of the first brothers, one of the first followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who was given the name Muhammad, if my understanding of the history is correct. He was one of the first brothers that was allowed to establish Islam in the West. Originally, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad forbade Islam to be taught on the West Coast because of the wickedness and the sin on the West Coast. So he was one of the first brothers that was allowed to go on the West Coast and establish Islam. He helped establish Islam in
California, the West Coast, and he worked also in the South, in Phoenix. And during his 3 year of living with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was told by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the history of the Jehovah's Witnesses. According to that history, according to his teaching, he said that the Jehovah's Witnesses were originally called the Russellites. The leader was Charles Russell. He was a biblical scholar, and he studied the scripture, and he detected that the prophesied time of the rule of Satan would be 6,000 years, and his calculation determined that that 6,000-year rule was up in 1914. He established the Russellites. I don't remember exactly what year. But he eventually, 1914 eventually came and passed, and he passed in 1916. He had a student by the name of Judge Rutherford, who was a young lawyer. He became a lawyer at a very young age, around 20 or 22, and he was a follower of Charles Russell, Charles T. Russell. And he was in at a convention in St. Louis, and this can be verified. They had a Russellite convention in 1931, and at that time he met Master Farad Muhammad, and according to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was with Master Farad Muhammad in 1931 in St. Louis, and Mr. Rutherford, who took over the Russellites, met Master Farad Muhammad, and he kneeled before him, recognized him as the coming of Jehovah, and eventually changed the name of the Russellites to the Jehovah's Witnesses. I believe it was approximately 1935, I believe he changed the name. So that was the story, according to one of the top ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had revealed it to him.
Right. That is exact and correct. Yeah, and it was 1931, actually, when the Jehovah's Witnesses actually changed their name from that. And he did a great job of breaking down the initial history of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And a few things I might want to add is although he was a Bible scholar, and he was very wise, he was also very close to Masonry in his induction, and he used a lot of his prophecy on astronomy, and he was really into the pyramids, and you know, he used the pyramid Giza as his starting point and his ending point to make certain prophecies. And I have here a quote that I'm going to read that came straight from him as regarding the Masons, and it says, "We have no quarrel with them. I'm not going to say a word against Masons, and I can appreciate that there are certain very precious truths that are held in part by Masonic friends. I have talked to them at times, and they have said, 'How do you know all about these things?' And this is what he said. He said, 'I have been in conference with the great master workman, the Lord himself, and I have secret information through the Holy Spirit and guidance in respect to what the Bible says, and that contains all truth. And I believe on every subject from what this man taught me.'" So we see he did have some his connections in his gravesite. As a matter of fact, they buried him next to a Masonic tomb, and his deep roots in Masonry carried him over to eventually accept what the what Master Farad Muhammad had presented to him. Now, it's said sometimes you ask the Jehovah's Witness organization, they want to say it's the other way around, which we know based on the prophecy that was in Genesis that it couldn't be that way. They say that Charles Russell taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, we know that can't quite be true, because it's no way this guy who has a this great blood man has a third grade, only went up to the third grade, and he has a third grade education, and he ended up getting a bunch of followers by teaching us Islam, by civilizing us, bringing us out of a savage state from which the Caucasian had placed upon us from the wickedness of slavery. So that's one way that we know for a fact that it couldn't have been that way. And another way is, in its inception, Jehovah's Witnesses didn't allow the black men in their organizations, just like the Mormons and the Protestants. They didn't allow black people to worship with them, probably not until the late 60s. And even then, in the late 60s, they still didn't believe that the black man had any place in the Bible or any place in God's world, because Brother Judge Rutherford gave a lecture, I believe it was in 1945, where he mentioned the Ethiopians. And in that lecture, he said that the Ethiopians were somewhat cursed, and in paradise, when the kingdom comes, that Jehovah, quote-unquote, would turn them, their skin, from black to white. So the organization has its foundations based on white supremacy. Now, you'll have Jehovah's Witnesses tell you color doesn't matter, there's no racism in there, and all of that. Well, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, born into it. My father was a minister, and he taught me how to minister as well, and I gave lectures starting at the age of 6 in the congregations. And I used to wonder myself as a young kid, you know, not really knowing, because I was born in the South, and, you know, we really, being a Jehovah's Witness, you really don't know anything about racism, because that's something that they definitely don't talk about. But we would go to conventions, you know, big conventions, and they would have plays. They always had plays acting out different stories in the Bible, like stories like the Moses story, Joseph's story, or Jesus' story, whatever story it would be. But they would never have black characters. And also their publications, the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society, the Awake, which they go around from door to door passing out, which in its inception, it always had Masonic symbols with it. So they would always have the image of the Caucasian, or a little darker brunette Caucasian. And Jesus, in fact, they portrayed him as a Caucasian. Now, they say it doesn't matter, but the psyche of black people not knowing that Jesus was a person of color with hair like lamb's wood and feet of burnished brass, with them not knowing that, us not knowing that, that affected the minds of the former slaves, because we didn't know that we was even important to God until Master Farah Muhammad came. So that gave us the mindset as former slaves to jump on to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching. There was no doubt in it. I mean, it was a quickening spirit. It was something that made you want, feel loved by Almighty God Allah. So they, up to this day, they still use the same images. They don't use the characters of the Bible as people of color. And I'm trying to be careful when I say people of color, because I have been taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that actually the Caucasian is the colored man. So I don't want to get carried away. But just for the Christian listeners, that's what I will use at the time. So he made a lot of predictions, I want to say. I don't want to say words of prophecy, but he made a lot of predictions. And in his predictions, he kept predicting that the world was going to end. Jesus' return was now, and this was going to happen this time. And the latest prediction that the Jehovah's Witnesses had was in 1975, it was supposed to be a complete awakening, and they would be carried away, and they were the only ones who were going to be a part of the 144,000 But that didn't come true. So according to the scriptures, when a man comes and makes a prediction about God's word, then you got to debunk the whole religion. So Jehovah Witnesses, there are sincere members. There are sincere members. But what I want to give you now is I want to give you some statistics that are very alarming, and this is very alarming, and I researched this. And they taught that the white race was superior. Now, this is an exception, and blacks could change to white in a new system. And this is and if anybody wants the references, I got references for you. And this is in the Zion's Watchtower, published on October the 1st, the year 1900, on page 2706. And they said, though once as black as a charcoal, that Reverend Draper is now white. So, you know, that's the form of racism that started. Then in the Watchtower in 1902, on July the 15th, on page 3043, while it is true that the white race exhibits some qualities of superiority over any other, we ought to remember that there are wide differences in the same Caucasian, Semitic, and Arvin family. Then on the Watchtower, February 15th, 1904, page 3320, it says, how can all men be brought to perfection, and which color of skin was the original? The answer is now provided. God can change the Ethiopian skin in his own due time. And then in a book entitled The Golden Age, published in July 24th, 1929, page 702, they used something what Noah said. And Noah said, curse be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. And he pictured the future of the colored race. So, you know, the foundation of it is based on white supremacy. And it's alarming statistics that they have because of the actual breakdown of the different races and ethnicities that are in the Jehovah's Witnesses, including the governing body, which I'll touch on that later, because that's very important that they actually have a governing body that controls the entire organization. And this governing body is responsible for carrying on the duties, the publications, the talks that you receive of the entire Kingdom Jehovah's Witness organization. So this is I got some alarming statistics here. In the U.S., where 68% of the population is white, 15% Latino, and 13.5% African American, Jehovah's Witnesses are much less white and much more Latino and African American. Specifically, whites make up only 48% of the American Jehovah's Witnesses, while Latinos make up 24%. And African Americans make up 22%. So there are currently 9 members on the governing body. They recently added an African American. They call him African American. They recently added him, and he is the only non-white person ever appointed to that body in their 130-year history of the Watchtower Corporation / religion. So that is just a basic foundation that of the Jehovah's Witness organization that one must remember. So how they went so far off base from what Master Farah Muhammad was teaching him or taught him, I'm not sure where they went. But because of that, and they also said that the Jews would inherit the kingdom, and they are the chosen. And we know what kind of clashes we are having with the so-called Jews. So if you just put two and two together, you will realize, in fact, one of the 9 is a Jew. So, and his last name is Noor. If anybody want to touch and research that, you'll find out. And one of them from Australia. Most of them are from European countries. So that's how the governing body. The governing body, they operate on their own accord. They answer to nobody. And, in fact, you cannot question the governing body. If you question the governing body, you can be disassociated or disfellowshipped. Now, let me explain what the difference is between disassociation and disfellowship. Disassociation.
Okay, wait a minute, Brother Reginald. Wait a minute. Before we go into that, because we got a lot of people on the phones and in the chat room, they got questions. So
okay.
Let's answer their questions. And then, no, that's okay. We'll get back to them. I think this is Georgia. Area code 678. Your mic is now live. Well, it's a lot of 678. So the last four numbers is 6095. Your mic is now live. You have a question or a comment?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and 678. Okay, last four numbers 0680. Your mic is live. Last four numbers 0680. You have a question or a comment? No. Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, I guess they don't want to talk. Okay, area code 404. Area code 404, your mic is live. Area code 404. Okay.
What's the last four?
4458.
Yes, ma'am. How are you tonight? Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, brother. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, by Allah's gracious mercy, Brother Joshua. I'm at Mark number 15. I would just like to make a quick comment. I just came on. I didn't hear much, but I would just like to say I see the Jehovah's Witness pretty much as a theological prerequisite to the coming of the Nation of Islam, establishing at least some true factors in the religion, whether they want to embrace it or not, or whether they want to move towards the whole, they still have to acknowledge the fact that someone did come and teach them and give them information. Now, whether they spread the gospel as it should be is really irrelevant, because those of us who are to do that, we are now on the scene, and it's going to be done, and it has been done, and it will be done. So there are some Jehovah's Witnesses who do embrace some aspects of the Nation of Islam in the teachings, but I would just like to reference Matthew's end on his point. The book of Matthew said, "Oh, son of man, shake off the grave clothes." So in every religion today, we have to begin to shake off the dust of that old theological mindset of what was and embrace what is, which is the Nation of Islam, because everything else has failed. And until we in the Nation of Islam begin to see our true role and value, then we cannot forge our way to where we should be. So we have to begin to pick up the banner, the torchlight, and move it forward, because the minister has done his job, and he has done a great job.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
That's right.
And thank
That's
you,
right.
Brother Joshua.
Brother Joshua, I'm at temple number 15. Atlanta,
yes,
Georgia.
Sir. Thank you, Brother
yes,
Joshua. Thank
yes,
you
ma'am.
For calling
thank you.
In. Yes,
yes,
sir.
Ma'am.
Okay. Wow, we have a lot of callers on. Okay. As-salamu alaykum, Student Minister James. Come off of mute.
yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Reg.
As-salamu alaykum, salam, Brother Minister James.
Well, as I said with you earlier on, dear sister, I know very little about this subject matter, and I tuned in to learn. So.
Okay, well, you pressed one on your dial pad. I thought you had a question or a comment.
Oh, no, that's habit. You know, it is. That's
oh, okay.
really habit. But, no, I don't have any
okay.
comment or question. I'm just
okay.
listening.
All praises to Allah. Well, it's good to hear your voice anyway.
That's wonderful to hear yours. I just wanted to show my support.
Thank you, beloved. Okay, we have a lot of questions. Wow, hold on. Area code 404, last four numbers, 6665. 6665, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Yes, family. My name is Brother Jamal Kareem from Atlanta, Georgia, Muhammad Mansa number 15. I have one quick comment. I just wanted to bear witness to what the brother has said so far. I, too, was raised as a Jehovah's Witness by my mother, and I can attest to the fact that brother was 1,000% correct on everything he said. I know for a fact that everything brother said was actual fact and 100% true. I often ask my mother as a child the questions about why the people on the watchtowers and the Wake magazines were all Caucasian. And I often ask the Jehovah's Witness brothers, and they all gave me the same answer: it doesn't matter. But as a young black male, it mattered to me a great deal. And when I did my research for myself, because the Jehovah's Witness have a thing to that where if they don't publish it, they don't want you to read it. They tell you, well, if it doesn't come from the governing body, don't read it. And if they find out that you have been reading other information, they pretty much will put you out for reading other material that they didn't publish. So I took it upon myself to do my own research, and that's when I came across the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it took me a while to study it and get the sense of it, but it was so clear, it was easy for me to join on, because that was the missing piece to my puzzle. That I was asked, I was looking for those missing pieces for 20 years, and when I met the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that was the missing piece to my puzzle. So I just wanted to bear witness to everything brother said. It was right on.
Our praises be to Almighty God, Allah.
Yes. Thank you, family.
Thank you, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. Okay. Wow. Area code 561. Area code 561, you have a question or a comment?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam,
sir. Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, this is Brother Robert 10X, Muhammad's Mosque number 25 in the warm city of Miami, Florida.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Robert. It's so good to hear your voice, and Happy New Year.
You too, ma'am. Happy New Year to you and the whole entire family. In the name of Allah, the next most merciful, I confess there is no God but Allah, Muhammad, and his messenger. I bear witness to what brother said and what the brother that just got off had said also, because I, too, was raised in a Jehovah's Witness household. As a matter of fact, when my mother was baptized, I was in her stomach. And I do remember at the age of 8, I had went to the elders in our congregation up in New York, and I had asked them, why were there no black people in the publications? And I was told then that we were of no significance, that it didn't matter. So at the age of 8, I knew I would never, ever be a Jehovah's Witness. I also remember times me and the brothers would be up in New York soldiering, and there would always be Jehovah's Witnesses by us, and they would want to give us their publications, and I would tell them, well, let's switch yours for mine and mine for yours, and they would be, like, terrified to accept the final call. But, again, I bear witness, and our brother is 1,000,000% on point. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Walaikum salam, sir. I praise God.
Walaikum salam, Brother Robert. Good to hear from you. Okay.
You too, my boy.
We have so many people with questions. This is unusual, but all praises due to Allah. Okay. Area code 623. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sister.
Walaikum salam, ma'am.
I'm Sister Barbara Muhammad of Mosque number 32. My great aunt was one of the first blacks to come into among the first blacks coming to the Jehovah's Witnesses back in the, I think she came in the 40s. And nowadays, I'm in the Nation of Islam, of course, but a lot of times Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, and I always let them in, because when I think about a people of faith, they seem closer to Islam than others, and they are very, 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 very interested in Islam. And I do feel that the average Jehovah's Witness, if they wasn't in there, they would be in the Nation of Islam, because the way they try to live their life and the way they try to conduct themselves in a dignified way, I think that that's the influence that I see maybe from them being exposed to, if it's so, Master Farad Muhammad. And it's the dignified way they try to present themselves and they carry themselves. But I also know that they're not quite comfortable in the Jehovah's Witness. And because when they come here, this lady, if I don't talk to her, she kind of feels bad. But when she comes in here, I just talk Islam to her. But she wants to hear it. And I feel that they're not all very comfortable in that. And I thought about that because they go all over Africa, China, everywhere, and they carry those books with them. And it's never any people of color in that book. And I did ask her that same question. I said, why do you all portray Jesus as white, and why do you have so much information in here about Judaism? You know, because that part I didn't understand. But I want to bear witness with what the brother was telling you about the Jehovah's Witness, because just, although I was never a part of it, just from my great auntie, I know that it's some kind of brainwashing that they are experiencing the Jehovah's Witness. That's
really?
All I'm saying.
That's right.
Oh. Okay. Thank you, Sister Barbara.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now, we got another call from Georgia. So, last area code 404, last number is 5103. Your mic is now live.
Yes. As-salamu alaykum to everyone. Happy New
Year.
Long,
sir. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah, this is Urenu. I have two questions. The first is, so what is the rapture? That's the first question. And second, can you explain or take time to explain it? Because one of the brothers did mention it earlier. Can you explain the 144,000 that is referenced in the Bible? And I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, so why don't each of you take a question? Who wants to do the rapture and who wants to do the 144?
Go ahead, brother. I yield to the brother.
Brother Tony?
Yes, ma'am.
Which one
you
going to
do? It really doesn't matter.
I'll speak of the rapture. I'll speak of the rapture, but the way I'll speak of the rapture is I'll give you an example. I don't know if you remember that cult when all of the members went and they were supposed to be going up on a spaceship and all of them killed themselves and they were supposed to be leaving the earth and, you know, they had to wear certain shoes and also the Jim Jones, that type of stuff. And in fact, one year, Mr. Russell, he predicted that the rapture was supposed to come, so all his members went to a bridge, they disrobed, and they waited for Jesus to come out the clouds to come and get them. So that never took part. So he lost a lot of followers by making his prediction. And in fact, it was once said that he was one of them, but he said he didn't do it. It was just his radical followers that did it. So that's what they consider rapture, that they're supposed to go into this heavenly realm and be with Christ who is reigning in the heavenly realm.
Okay, and the 144,000, Brother Tony.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm so full. I'm just want to try to stick to the topic, but so many other things I would like to say based off the statements of others. But I'll try to stick to the topic.
Yes, sir.
The scripture says that it was 144,000 standing with the Lamb, and it said that the Father's name was written in their foreheads, and they knew a new song, and no one else knew that song but the 144,000. According to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the 144,000 are the 144,000 of those who will be taught the true knowledge of God and the true knowledge of the devil. Those elect among those who would be taught the new teaching. The elect would be like, in this world's terms, as the governors and the mayors and the senators of this country. They are the 144,000 who are classified as the stars of God. If you read further, the 144,000, they are mentioned in the book of Revelation, I think it's the 14th chapter. Mm-hmm. But if you read further, I think the following chapter, either the following chapter or two chapters after, it speaks of a great harvest that will take place. The great harvest that will take place will be, the people will be harvested by these 144,000 elect. And later, if you read further in the Revelation, it says that there will be a number that no man could count. So these stars, or of 144,000 of the elect of God, would go forth and harvest a number of people that no one could count.
Okay, yes, sir.
And from the Jehovah's Witness perspective on that, they have what they have called as a Passover, and instead of, you know, because they don't celebrate Easter or any holidays or anything like that, just like the Nation of Islam, but they do a Passover in which they pass around what they consider, it's almost like a communion, the body of Jesus, the bread, the wine for his blood, and they pass it around amongst the congregation, the members of the congregation. And the only ones who are allowed to partake of that is the so-called ones who are supposed to be a part of that 144,000. Well, I talked to my father about it as early as today as why was it always mostly white people partaking in that? You would, a black person in the congregation would hardly ever take part in that ceremony. So, you know, that's just another form. I mean, it's just so psychologically just draining if you just sit back and watch, you know, and see that, you know, although they say, and it is some sincere people as Jehovah's Witnesses because they don't know anything else. But once you hear, you know, you learn that truth being mixed with falsehood, it will keep you in a spell, you know, and it's so much truth mixed with falsehood in the Jehovah's Witness teachings that, you know, it's hard for one to grow up and keep saying that I have the absolute truth because I'm a witness. First of all, Jehovah is not a name. It's a title. Jehovah means one who causes to become. So when they go around saying that's his name, that's incorrect. That's a title. His proper name is Allah, or El, which means Allah. So they have confused their own selves in trying to master the Hebrew language, and that's why they keep going and revising the Bible. Remember, it's called the New World Translation.
Sister, I would like to add, if I may, just one small injection.
Sure, yes, sir.
And you know, I'm pretty sure you know the direction I'm coming from. But
I don't know anything. I'm waiting.
Yes, ma'am. The scripture says that the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
As they were being led into the promised land, they were offered sustenance to sustain them until the kingdom was built, or until they conquered the kingdom. before they conquered the kingdom, they started to murmur against Moses or complain against Moses because they didn't have enough food or enough variety of foods. They said that we can't abide in one food. So that made Moses upset. We as black people, as former slaves, we see the slave master throw a party in the big house. He invites all his friends. They dressed up real nice, have the finest jewelry and crystal on. They're having a good time. They're doing square dances, playing the violin, eating the stuff that they eat, you know, caviar and that type of thing. A so-called Negro walks by. He looks in the door. He knocks on the door, and he said, well, why can't y'all invite me? And they said, well, man, you're not our friend. These are our friends here. Well, let me come in. So we come in, and we start to complain. Well, where the rest of the so-called Negroes at? You have to understand, we just invited our friends. The so-called Negroes not. No, that's not right. The so-called Negroes supposed to be in here with y'all partying. That's our mentality. We have to understand that the religions of the world were set up by God for particular people. The Arabs have a religion that's specifically for their nature. The Indian has one. That's why he does the rain dance. The Orientals have one. The Hispanics have one. And a white man came up in America to devise a way for his people to survive the War of Armageddon. He was on the right course, so God came to him and said, let me help you save some of these white people because they are prophesied to be destroyed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Master Farad Muhammad told him, and I have to say it because he said it, that there is not one white person in America. He didn't say one white person, period. He said in America that he is not going to destroy.
That's right.
But
that's right.
The scripture says that the prophets pleaded with God that when he brings his wrath, that don't forget mercy. So mercy comes first, and he offered a doorway for the Caucasian to come out in the form of the Jehovah Witness religion. It's not for us.
That's right.
So don't get upset if you don't see it in their books, because it's not for us. It's trying to save them. So we bust down the door and ask them, why you ain't got us in the books? I'm sorry, these books weren't made for y'all. So we have to understand the purpose of the Jehovah's Witness and why they were set up. We have to understand that Master Farad Muhammad is all wise. So he cannot set up a method to save the Caucasian in the same manner that he would save a black man. We have two different natures. And that's something I think we should consider.
That's right.
Right. And my whole point is that throughout many years, you know, I haven't had the privilege to study other religions in depth. But throughout the years, I've heard, you know, just little snippets here and there of Master Faraj Muhammad's alleged affiliation with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so when Brother Reginald and I were engaged about this conversation, and he started to explain to me some of the doctrine, you know, like the restrictive laws and the courtship and things of that nature, how they parallel, I was like, it sounds like the same class and the same restrictive laws that Master Farad Muhammad gave to us, which, you know, just piqued my curiosity to, if Master Farad Muhammad was among these people, then what was he among them to do? And so, Brother Reginald, I want to come to you and I want to ask you about the similarities of the doctrines like the courtship, you know, protocol, as well as the restrictive laws and how they coincide with one another from the nation to the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay, let me first say I don't know all of the restrictive laws of the nation because I'm currently not a registered member. I'm a member but not registered. So I'm
okay.
Not going to even try. Okay. In my opinion, before I say that, in my opinion, I would liken Master Farad teaching the Caucasian that religion as Musa, how he came and tried to, you know, raise the devil from walking around on all fours. In other words, civilizing the Caucasian. But some of the parallels that they have, such thing as you can't, they don't believe in dating. If a couple want to hook up, you have to have a chaperone. It's a certain period that you have to be with that person before you can even be alone with that person. I don't care if you're 50 or 60, you have to have a chaperone. They don't celebrate holidays. They don't celebrate birthdays. They don't vote. They don't get involved in politics. They don't advise you. They shun you if you want to go to college, which is not a parallel, but that's one of their restrictive laws. The women, they dress a little more modest than the average woman that's in the world. They consider themselves not in the world, but of the world. They always preaching about the kingdom to come. You know, the church, every now and then, the church will mention the kingdom, but that's their main purpose is speaking on the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Some other parallels, I wish some of these ex-Jehovah Witnesses can call in and let me know because, you know, I don't have them all at the top of my head, but those are good principles for any religion to follow, you know, the restrictive laws that they have in the organization, you know. And if you are caught, they don't believe in homosexuality. In fact, they had a head of the governing body who had homosexual tendencies, and they disfellowshipped him, you know. And disfellowship means that you are completely out the organization, but you can come back at a certain period, but you have to go before a certain body of members to be accepted back. Now, disassociation. Hello? Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Yeah,
hello?
Please.
Sister Queen? Are you here, Brother Muhammad?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay.
Brother Tony. Brother Reginald, I had to get Brother Tony back on the phone. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, they have very good principles, and they mean well. They really mean well, the members, because they're not going to tell the members everything, you know, that's going on. And they have no transparency. They don't tithe. They don't believe in tithing. They believe in just giving donations. And they are a wealthy, I want to say one of the most wealthiest religious organizations that I probably know, because, I mean, they get them publications out, and their members donate. I mean, they have a lot of wealthy people in that organization, and they look out for each other. They don't ask for any help from the government or anything. When you see a Kingdom Hall going up, they're not getting money from the government. That's from the donations of the members, and they build them themselves. Just they're pretty independent organization, just like how we're the Muhammad's economic blueprint, how we're trying to maintain our independence through separation. They have mastered that to a T. You know, they build in when a disaster comes, and their members are out of home, out in the streets, and their houses are ruined or the Kingdom Halls. It takes them probably 3 weeks at the most to build the Kingdom Hall, because they pool their resources, they put all their minds together, and they get the job done. And they don't believe in blood transfusions, because they don't trust anybody's blood. So my mother, for instance, she'll forgive me, but from what I understand, as a little child, She had a child in her womb, and she lost her step on an escalator, and the baby, you know, she lost the baby, and she had a choice. either get a blood transfusion or, you know, she might have to not have the baby. Now, that's what I heard as a child. But blood transfusions are not allowed, as Sean don't. And disassociation, if you disassociate yourself from there, you can't go in there and participate in the question and answer period. You can't go up there and minister. You're not allowed to do those things because it's a grace period that you have to go to be considered. And they consider themselves, the ones that's running it, they consider themselves, which is very, very weird. And me and a sister talked about this. And I talked about it with my dad today. They considered themselves discreet slaves, and they considered the other ones who over the discreet slaves overseers. So if you take that, just those titles alone, and you're a black person, you got to cringe if you know anything about slavery, if you know anything about overseers on the plantation. You gotta be like, wow. You know, this is just something that might not be right in the Bible. Maybe somebody added a little to it. And what they do is they go so much off of what Paul said, in my opinion, and less of what Jesus said. And they still believe in the virgin birth, and they don't worship the cross. Up until 1954, they used to worship Jesus. But they after 1954, Revelation came, and they figured out that they was doing wrong by worshiping Jesus. So they started worshiping solely the Sovereign of the universe, Jehovah. So, you know, those are just some parallels, you know, and they use the term bad associations make for bad representations. So they try to stay amongst themselves. They don't try to party with everybody else, and they don't smoke. They don't use drugs. Only thing they do is drink in moderation. But Brother Judge Rutherford, his wife left him because he was an alcoholic, and he died on a train on the way back, getting ready to go to a congregation drunk. So, you know, it's just a lot of different things that the principles are there, but like the brother said, the religion is not for us. It's for them, for the civilized them. And they use us as, in my opinion, mockery to get, you know, to get in the Spanish congregation. They have the Spanish congregations are larger than the white congregations. And if you go to Atlanta, the black congregations are like really into it. But you go farther up to Athens, which I used to go to that congregation in Jefferson County, and it's them white people look at you like, what you doing in our congregation? You need to go back down to Atlanta. So, you know, it's just so much. I'm not gonna say I despise them because I understand the principles of the matter, but the fact still remains. When I met the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I was introduced to white supremacy, and the first thing that happened to me was the hate of the Caucasian came over me. I didn't become a racist, but I hated them for what they had done, you know, and I just didn't, and are doing. And it has taken me 20 years to try to get that hate about my system, even for them now, you know, because my mom is married to a Caucasian. That's my stepdad, you know, so I have to respect them, and some of them try to be righteous, but we know that by nature that's not their nature. That's something that they have to learn. That's a learned thing that they have to, because they think they're superior, and we notice that, you know, and they don't try to hide that. They may not act like it, but you can tell once you've learned the lessons, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the Minister Louis Farrakhan, you learn how to discern spirits, and you can tell the demon is still there within, and Satan is Satan, you know. And if you mix truth with falsehood, it's poison. So to me, the religion is the tree of good and evil, and I try to stay away from it at this point. And I would advise our people, if you're going to get in, you better do your research. You better do your research.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Tony, is there anything you want to add? Because we just got a new influx of calls, and I hate to do this, and I usually don't have to, but if you have already asked your question and you don't have another question, press 1 on your dial pad. That will take you out of queue so that I won't have to revisit you again, because there are so many calls and some of the area codes are so similar, I don't want to go back to the same people. So if you would, just a brief second, if you've already asked your question, press 1 on your dial pad, and that will take you out of the queue for questions, and then we can get the other people who have questions in. Okay, I'm going to start from the bottom up to make sure I get the new callers. Okay, area code 314, last numbers 4644. Your mic is now live.
Hi, how are you doing? You know, I wanted to make comment.
Sir.
This is Brother Pianki. I was going to make comment to Brother Reginald, is it?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And the, you know, you're absolutely right. These religions were not made for everybody. It was made for the particular group of concerns, ethnicity, that created them, and historically. And another thing, another fact that we have hard, and, you know, when you use the word we, I'm using it in a general term for the way it's used because it can be scrutinized. We have to come to realize that all black people are not the same.
That's right.
And that is just a fact. Now, when I look at groups, now I have to take my hat off, and I have high respect for Elijah Muhammad for what he done with the group of people that followed him, especially economically. You haven't seen that since. And very few times before, what he done economically with the mindset was the right thing, and you don't see it going on today. Of course, we can argue about why come things are not going on in that organization today like it was then. Well, that's, you know, that could go on forever. But you know, one point I just wanted to get across is that everybody that's black ain't black, and we all are not the same. But the thing that we should be working on is working on changing our paradigm economically. And I always say, when y'all come to the meeting, leave your check, your guns, your emotions, and your religion at the door. Come on, sit down, let's talk some business. So okay. I'm enjoying this conversation. Very interesting.
Okay, Brother Wood, since you said that, we just want to introduce you to Muhammad's economic blueprint, and then you can go to.
I know Muhammad's economic blueprint very, very well.
Yeah, you can work with us because it's real. It's gonna happen, man. It's not like we trying to present something and we just reaching for the air. We're gonna make it happen by Allah's permission. So work with us. Work with us.
Well,
with
I do
us.
Work with y'all. You know, I'm here in St. Louis. I work with Brother. I'm not a Muslim. As a matter of fact, I'm not even a believer. But when I went to a school and worked with a group of children, I took them on a field trip. And our field trip was taking them to a black-owned store, which is Yours Market, which is ran by Brother Shahid here in the St. Louis area. So, you know, we try to support these things because we know that they're the right thing to do. It's not any other reason, it's just the right thing to do.
Okay. All right. We have a lot of other calls. But thank you, Brother Pianki, for calling in, and Happy New Year to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Peace, brother.
Yes, sir. Okay. Another call from St. Louis, and I think I know who this is. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
I'm blessed by Allah's grace and permission, and Happy New Year to our Vice President of Nation Building Movement. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah. And assalamu alaikum, Brother Reginald, Brother Tony, everybody that's on the line. I'm going to be real quick,
sir,
because I am also learning myself a lot of this information I didn't have. And I thank you all for sharing it with me. I simply wanted to say this, that I agree 100%, because if we remember the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he told us that his father, Master Farah Muhammad's father, made him of the two peoples so that he could dispense justice to the two people, so that the people, everybody gets a way out. That's the justice, that's the mercy. The other thing is when you were talking about the 144,000 and the stars, Queen, you mentioned the statement that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made when he said that when this is all over, the number of people that will make it out, you could fit them in a taxi cab. And when you look
That's
at
right.
the fact, when you look at the fact that we as a people in this country number between 40 to 50 million,
mm-hmm.
and when you take 144,000, and you know in this line we deal with mathematics, 144,000 is somewhere around 4% of the total population. So,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's what I wanted to share. But like I said, I'm enjoying it immensely because, like I said, there's a lot of the history and the information that I'm now getting myself, you know, and it just bears witness to the fact, again, that Master Farah Muhammad indeed is Allah in person. And that being the fact, that means the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ. And in my view, of all those who have stood up and said they represent the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, by far, and by his actions, is bearing witness to the fact that he is the one.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam,
Brother Kareem. Thank you. And, you know, and that's the whole point because, you know, we need to understand certain religions. And a lot of times things are brought to our community, you know, just like drugs and alcohol. A lot of things are brought to our community, and we jump on the bandwagon. So when I was engaging Brother Reginald on this topic, it was like, well, why are we even involved in this religion? Just because someone allows us in or just because we felt like we needed to make an affirmative action move and be a part of something. But it appears as I'm learning here tonight and as I learned as I talked to Brother Reggie and Brother Tony, this is not something we even supposed to be involved in, you know. But when we're talking about our salvation, and we're talking about being played, you know, being spiritually pimped, if you would. That's a very dangerous game. It's
yes,
a very
ma'am.
Dangerous game when we talk about salvation. Okay, we have some more callers on the phone. I'm sorry, brothers. I knew you all intended to talk, but I don't like to keep the callers waiting long because we can lose them because there are so many. So let me take a couple of more calls. So I'm going to take area code 616. Your mic is now live. You have a question or a comment?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Andre out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I just wanted to show my support.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam,
yes,
dear queen. You
yes,
know I had
sir.
To jump in and show my support. Brother Reginald and Brother Tony, I just wanted to show my support. Listen, I'm going to be a student tonight. You know, I'm humbling myself tonight to be a student because just like Brother Kareem had said earlier, you know, this is some information I definitely did not have. So I'm very appreciative of this information, and I'm taking it all in because definitely it's definitely needed and, you know, definitely. So I'm just being a student tonight, and I wanted to show my support.
I'll pray.
Yes, sir. All praises to Allah. Happy New Year, Brother Andre, Student Minister Andre out of Grand Rapids. Thank you for calling in, sir. And, you know, we all need to be learning this. You know, we all need to learn because you have to look at how many black people are actually Jehovah's Witness and do they really even know what they're involved in. It's very important. And, you know, I was trying to make the connection between Master Farah Muhammad and, you know, the Jehovah's Witness. But then when you look at, you know, what we would consider restrictive laws or etiquette, if you would, in their behaviors, you know, the not smoking and being dressed modestly and creating publications and going from door to door, it's almost like an echo, you know. And so I'm just bear witness to the truth that evidently whatever amount of time Master Parag, Muhammad spent amongst these people, that he had to have come and taught them something, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. Now, when you revise something, if you want to own that because you changed it, that's fine. But when you look at these basic principles of conduct, so to speak, you can pretty much bear witness where they come from. They're not fooling anyone with that one. Okay. Wow. I'm so sorry. There are just so many more calls. Okay. Area code 404, last numbers 5818.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Queen, Brother Stanley Muhammad. How are you?
Walaikum salam. Happy New Year, Brother Stanley. How are you, sir?
Likewise, my sister. I thank Allah for life. I thank Allah for blessing me to make it through the blood and the mayhem of 2013 and make it to 2014 to help the Vicar
yes,
of Christ,
sir.
Honorable Mention Ms. Farrakhan.
Yes,
but
sir.
But it's a wonderful topic. Wonderful topic. And I just got on. I left one conference call to come on to another one. But
yes,
Master Farag Muhammad, as we are taught, he appeared to into America in 1910. And he was in and out of America for 20 years. And the Honorable Ms. Farrakhan posed the question, who is he talking to? Who is he teaching at that time?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said he lived among a lot of white people, Caucasian people. And Judge Rutherford was one of them who actually was very instrumental in starting the Jehovah Witness movement. And they actually have a lot of parallels with us, and you can correlate a lot what they do in terms of what we do. And starting with the family structure is very important. They believe that the man is the head of the household and the woman is not running the household, and that's very important because the Bible says that God is the head of Christ and Christ is the head of man and man is the head of woman. And so I believe that spiritual protocol is very important, and we believe the same in the Nation of Islam. They don't believe
yes,
in worshiping Christ. They believe that Christ is not to be worshipped, but Jehovah or God is to be worshipped. They don't believe in Christmas. They don't believe in participating in the political structure. They don't believe in birthdays. And this is all because Master Farag Muhammad taught them, you know, these principles, and he taught them about the doom of white America if they don't surrender and submit to him. So I just really think it's a beautiful subject, a beautiful topic, and I can go on, and I just love when they go door to door and they knock on my door.
I know you do.
I said, please, come in. You want to have a cup of coffee? You know, and it inspires me so much because it reminds me of what we should be doing, you know, as believers.
Sir.
You got the sister with the brother. You know, husband and wife should be going door to door showing an image of family, and they have their children with them, and none of the sisters are dressing promiscuous. They're always modestly dressed. This is the teachings of Master Farag Muhammad. That's his influence in the Caucasian community. So I just want to thank you, Sister Queen, once again for hitting another home run in your talk show.
Aww.
Keep up the good work. May God continue to bless you and keep you. Assalamu alaikum.
And brother,
well, brother Stanley, thank you
real,
so much.
If I'm correct,
yes.
Master Farag Muhammad went door to door in Black Bottom, Detroit. Not
he
as
sure
a peddler
did.
Like they say he did. But he went, because he made his own silks, because they try to say he was a peddler. But according to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he wasn't that. But he did go in the projects in Black Bottom, Detroit, door to door. Then he showed them how to get in, pick a house, that all of them would get in and he would lecture them. See, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. They
that's
pick
right.
a house and then they lecture and they study within the house. And they go through that Bible at least once a year from the beginning to the end. And I just wanted to add that. I know it's a lot of calls, sister. I'm sorry.
And I want to say one more thing, if I may, Sister Queen. They also
yes.
believe in 1914
mm-hmm.
that Christ will return. And they believe that 1914 was the end of this present world. And that's the same thing with Master Farah Muhammad said. 1914 dated a 6,000-year end of the Caucasians' time to rule. So you see so many Macaulay, we can go on and on. They were taught by Master Farah Muhammad himself.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So thank you, Brother Stanley. Happy New Year. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. You know you got to come back on the show real, real, real soon, brother.
Inshallah. So I'm looking forward
don't
to
don't get lost. Yes, sir. I'll praise the Sister Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so, yes, sir. So, Brother Tony, share with us some more history as it relates to Master Farah Muhammad and his teachings of them, and how do they differ, though? Because it appears to me, from what I gather from Brother Reggie, that, you know, what they're teaching even right now is really in the form of a white supremacist training done underhandedly, not as open as the KKK, but to tell a black member that your ethnicity has no, you know, significance when Master Farah Muhammad came to us, he let us know that the black man was God. So, you know, tell us a little more about that history and that difference and the significance of that difference of what they were taught versus what we were taught, if you can.
I would like to try to come from the scriptural basis to color some of the history. But first, I would like to make a correction. The brother said that once this thing is over, it will be enough of us to make it fit in the back of a cab. The messenger made that statement in reference to his departure. And he said upon his departure, he would have enough followers left to fit in the back of a cab and you have room to move around. But according to the history, I want us to take something in perspective. We've got a lot of background noise. During the coming of Master Farah Muhammad, black people were being tortured and victimized. Now, we have to think about the type of afflictions that we suffered. And I'm going to just point out one as a reference. You have a black man who dissatisfies his master. He takes a human-sized pot, boils water, takes the black man, throw him in the water. The water is boiling. He puts him in the water in order to loosen the skin off his body. Then he skins him alive. Now, I don't want us to focus on that particular situation. I want us to focus on this is taking place while God is watching. So we should think about and ask the question, why would God allow that to happen? Why is he sitting back watching us being tortured? Now, we rise up and we blame the white man and dig up his history and his dirt of all the torturous and wicked things that he's done to us. But we take out of the equation the fact that God was sitting there watching. So the question that we should ask is, why did God allow that to happen? Now I'm getting to your question. The scripture says in the book of Romans that God was calling the original tree
but they wouldn't come. They wouldn't produce. So he took a grafted branch, and he chose them amongst the original branch to make the original branch jealous. And once the original branch got jealous, then they would come to God. Now, God purposely did this. It says in the book before Habakkuk, I think that's Nehemiah, it says that God took the prophets that were among the people and put deceptive words in their mouth and let the prophets teach the people falsehood. Now, why is God allowing all this to happen? This is to answer your question. God is allowing this to happen to black people because we have always been rebellious. So since you have been so rebellious, I'm finna whoop you. But I'm gonna allow a man to do it that has no mercy in his system. I removed the mercy from his system. So I'm gonna let him beat you and lash you and lash you and lash you because you will not submit. So instead of you accepting the teachings that I gave to save you, you looking in everybody else's window and talking about what they're doing wrong. Now, the difference is that the people of the earth have a religion. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a religion that was devised to save the white man from the destruction that was coming to the earth if they did not submit to the new ruler. We have one that's directly devised for the nature of the black man. Now, the brother mentioned that all black people ain't the same. Now, that's true, but we all have the same nature. So we have a religion that was specifically devised for our nature. The Jehovah's Witnesses is a religion that was revised specifically for the nature of the Caucasian. But we try to find the flaws with them. They try to find the flaws with us. We try to find the flaws with the Christians. The Christian religion was set up for the slave, which is a different species of human being that never existed. He's a hybrid. He's a mixture of a Caucasian and a black man. He's a Negro. That's a hybrid species. So we point at the Christians. The bottom line is this. We have to submit. And these religions were set up to bring all of us into submission to God. That's the similarity. The difference is it was set up for the natures of the different nationalities of people.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Brother Tony. Okay. I got to be fair. I took a lot of live calls tonight, which I don't usually do, so I got to go back to the chat room. So Brother Reginald or Brother Tony, whoever feels most comfortable answering this question, this is from Brother Caleb. Brother Caleb wants to know, I don't know what this has to do with the topic, but I'm going to yield. He wants to know what was the original religion of the tribe of Shabazz? Either one of y'all can take that.
Entire submission.
That's so is the religion. Islam?
That's what Islam means. Entire submission by means of mathematics and science. That's the religion of the universe since its inception.
Well, I would like to add that there's a pre-Shabazz and a post-Shabazz. The religion of the pre-Shabazz, which is the Shabazz prior to our defection from the Holy Land into the jungles of Africa to conquer the wild beast, our religion prior to that time was submission. Our religion after that time was rebellion. And we were allowed to live in rebellion for 50,000 years to the rules and laws of Islam, which is the foundational religion of the planet.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I had to come off of mute because my dog is barking. Okay, yes, sir. Okay, we have another question from Sister Jan. And Jan wants to know, are we suggesting that the Jehovah's Witness religion is wicked for black people?
I'll take that. It's a scripture in Revelations that simply, this is how I came to it, being born into the religion and hearing Minister Farrakhan constantly tell us over and over again, come out of her. Come out of her. Accept your own and be yourself. That's in those little short that little short sentence. That's, we got to come out of theirs and accept our own. And the reason why so many black people are Jehovah's Witnesses is because the church failed them. The church failed them tremendously. So instead of them going to something that was definitely would quicken their spirit, they went to the Jehovah's Witness organization, which if you go to one of their meetings, it's like the spirit is not even present. I mean, they're coming from the Bible based on what they believe, you know, because like I said, they still believe in the virgin birth. They still believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He's the only begotten Son. You know, they still believe deep down inside that the children of Israel are white people, and we're not the children of Israel, and you know, and the Jews are going to inherit the kingdom, you know. So that's their mindset. That's their falsehood. But they're not going to call it falsehood because they know they got you. And all that religion, in my opinion, is doing is making mockery of black people by using them to go where they can't go, like the black neighborhoods. They won't go there by themselves most of the time. They'll make sure it's a black person within the group going door to door with them, or they'll send the black members to go there. You know, so it's all I can say is we just need to come out of her. We need to come out of this system of things. I mean, in 1914, this system of things was on its way out. We at 2014 now. That's 100 years after 1914. Look at the weather. I mean, just look at it just on New Year's Day, 2014. I'm not making any predictions, but Allah is not playing. The exalted Christ is executing his will, his iron will right now. And if we don't understand that we have to put what we believe, if we really do believe in what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us for the last 52 weeks, if we really believe that, then we would put a match to our backside and start going to work, start going door to door, start going to the nooks and crannies. Get out these buildings and go to the streets. The FY does a great job, but it ain't just the FY that's got to do it. It's got to be a whole nation. We try to build a nation. We trying to be totally independent so we don't have to ever repeat this again. And what's going to happen, in my opinion, same thing that happened to those, to Moses and Aaron followers. They argued and cursed God and built idols and went back to idol worship and turned back into polytheists. And God said, I'm just going to let y'all die out, and I'll let the children inherit the land. But we got to be ready to give our children something better than what we've given them so far. And we some kind of way we're dropping the ball, but we it's not too late. We still got a chance, a little slight window of a chance, but we have a chance.
Yes, sir. Okay, I hope that answered your question, Sister Jan. Now, this brother's name is Jamal something, something, something. It's all together. But Brother Jamal wanted someone to explain, how did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad become the first begotten son? Anybody? Everybody?
He said for first begotten son?
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Okay, this is a very powerful topic. This is a very powerful topic. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the first black man that was a victim of the enslavement of people, of the black man in America, that accepted the original religion that we had before we became slaves. That religion was total submission to the will of God, or what we call Islam. In the book of Revelations, in the first chapter, it says, I, John, was in the island of Patmos for the word of the law and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, I was in the spirit of, on the Lord's day. He said, I heard a voice behind me in the midst of seven candlesticks. He said it was a man. He said he was dressed in a long white robe that was down to his feet. He had a golden belt on. His hair was like lamb's wool, and his eyes was like the flaming fire, and his feet was like burnt brass as if it was burned in the oven. His voice was like the rushing of many waters. He says, I fell to his feet, and he said, I am the first and the last. I am the one that was dead not and is now alive. Now, the description that is given in that scripture does not fit the description that we know of the Jesus that was portrayed to us. Along with that, that scripture does not fit Master Farad Muhammad. That scripture does not fit, as a brother mentioned last week on your show, Yaqub's king, the king that ruled over Yaqub. That scripture fits a man that was mentally, morally, and spiritually dead in the hells of North America, who was awakened into spiritual life and was resurrected and given the original power of God that black people had prior to our enslavement. The power of God was manifested in the physical structures that we have put upon the earth, called the seven wonders of the earth, the heads of the Sphinx, the pyramids. The mathematics that were used to build these type of edifices is godlike science and mathematics. That original knowledge has been given back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and this is why he is called the first begotten of the dead. He is the first one that was allowed to go back to that original God power.
And that's the end of your comment, Brother Tony?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, sir. And Brother Reginald, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I just remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan telling us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the first begotten of those that slept. We just sleep. We Lazarus. We just sleep. We're not dead. We sleep. And it's going. And he said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that Allah would whoop us into submission, those who don't want to submit. And it's a sad thing that we got to be whooped, but, you know, that's just the thing of it. And that's mercy, though. That's not a bad thing that we got to be whooped into submission, because, you know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he's going to kill them all, and then he's going to drink them in a soup cup. That's how he feel about them. He don't want to save none of them. So, you know, we just he was the first begotten of those that slept, and we sleep, but we waking up. We ain't got no choice. We don't have any choice, because they still loving the Caucasian, because he gives us nothing, but we got to go for self. And that's all I want to say.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to take one more question out of the chat room, but I just want to remind everybody, and I'm so sorry again, if you have already asked your question, please press 1 on your dial pad so it can take you out of the question queue so that others who have new questions can remain in and we can take their questions. Okay, we have a question from Austin. He says that why is it so difficult to get inside the nation? Okay. Mm-mm. All right. Well, Brother Tony. Brother
yes,
Tony,
ma'am.
Are you there?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. Well,
to you on that one.
Well, we must say that originally the process was not made difficult. Originally the process was made fairly easy if you displayed what was required as far as obedience and submission. You were originally required to recite your lesson, making a declaration that you wanted to accept your own after being victimized by the enemy. And then you would have to write a letter to the God of the nation that shall be ran by God, telling him that you wanted to accept your own and be removed or have the mark of the enemy removed from you, which was the slave master's name. After many years of development and the success and the establishment of the nation, we were attacked on all sides. We have been infiltrated on all sides, and this is openly stated and can be found in the research papers of the FBI, that they have made great attempts to infiltrate our organization. It was openly stated by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that our nation was honeycombed with the most wicked type of characters, which were spies, agents, and hypocrites. And just recently, in the last 2 years, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also stated that that same type of paradigm exists today. It's honeycombed with hypocrites, agents, and unsavory type of characters who are not working for the betterment of our people and the establishment of our righteous nation. So that being the case, that is a fact that we have these characters, and they prevent or make an attempt to prevent many of those who have right hearts and right spirits from trying to come in. But we must consider the fact that God is all-powerful, and he's in control. We must consider the fact that God has allowed this to happen. So since God has allowed this to happen, all you have to do is show the fortitude and overcome. And as the scripture says in the book of Revelations again, that God would give his glory, his power, and his great reward to those who would be of the overcomers. So it's just something that you just have to overcome.
Yes, sir. Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines. Let me check again. Area code 770. Your mic is live. You have a question or comment? Area code 770. Last four numbers, 2255. Question or comment? Okay. And Brother Kareem, did you have a question or a comment?
Alaikum. No, ma'am. Like I say, at this point, I'm just absorbing this information, which I didn't have before.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking back with everybody who is still in queue.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. It's a lot of people. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm
going to check one more time. Okay. Brother Stanley, did you have a comment or anything you wanted to say? No? Okay. All right. I guess a lot of people are just still in queue. Okay. So last question, Brother Reginald, is there anything that you want to share further with us about the relationship, if any, between Master Farah Muhammad and the Jehovah's Witness, and what would you tell our people who are now involved and have been involved for many, many years with the Jehovah's Witnesses? What would you tell them right now as, you know, as an expression of good faith, you know, not to put any religion down or anything like that, but as in the best interest of our people, what would you say?
Well, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. which means that just because there's a Bible, one thing about the Nation of Islam is they believe all words of scriptures that were presented to the prophets. The Jehovah's Witnesses will immediately disfellowship you if they caught you going to the Quran. And I would advise every black Jehovah's Witness to read the Quran and see that it's a confirmation of what you thought you knew. And it will waken you. It will help give you the insight as to what you really are worshiping. Because Jesus and his mother was a sign. See, Jehovah's Witnesses will never teach you that. Even though I almost can guarantee you that the governing body, and especially Mr. Russell, they read the Quran. So they know that how to keep you enslaved to that book. So my advice is do some studying of the Quran so you can have more knowledge and information, because what we should all pray for is what Solomon prayed for. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. That way you don't have to have the elders or the pioneers or the overseers try to bring you information, even though they all on one accord. But you got to study for yourself. You can't just fall for what the watchtowers and the wakes say. You know, I mean, some of them mean good. I mean, you can get great information from it. But try to graduate. Try to evolve yourself spiritually into more food, more knowledge, something that will help you learn to see where you fit into the spectrum of God and how you can become one and grow perpendicular into the oneness of God. And start learning. Understand, they went in and they said, the Bible says if anybody adds or take one thing from this Bible, they're damned. But the Jehovah's Witness has revised it several times, several times. And they don't want you to read it. They tell you about Gabriel. He's in trouble for revealing the Quran to Prophet Muhammad. I'm here to tell you, when I read the Quran for the first time, the first thing it did to me was scared the living hell out of me. Because being a non-believer and being a believer is on two different levels. And the chastisement that Allah is going to put on the non-believer is so severe. And don't believe in this concept of heaven and hell. I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses really don't believe in it, but they do believe in that it's going to be a resurrection where all the people are going to come out the grave and take on new skin and new bodies and walk around, and everybody's going to be in paradise. And when they show you their vision of paradise, it's one black person here, one black person there, everybody else is white, and all of that. And they pretty much, Russell got that from the Hiram Abiff story, how Hiram Abiff was raised from up out of the grave back to life. And he took that principle and made it something totally different. Because as the Honorable Louis Farrakhan teaches us, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you're looking for Jesus to come back, he can show you where the body of Jesus is. So if you're waiting on somebody to return to redeem you or save you or die again for your sins and rescue you, they're not going to do it. The white man can't save you. He cannot save you. He can just put you deeper to it. And I don't want to make this a color thing, but you have to understand in this day and time, if you look at everything that's going on, blacks are being slaughtered wholesale. Prison is the number one industrial complex. Slavery in another language. You got to start putting yourself around your own when it comes to your salvation. And that's just my take on it. And I pray that, you know, what I know, you can put on a head of a needle and have so much room. And I'm glad because I can still learn and grow and keep evolving. I don't know anything, but I'm learning. I'm learning. And every day I live, I pray for wisdom, and I pray for a double portion of the spirit that God gave the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And prayer is still powerful.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Reginald. That was beautiful. Okay, and okay, Brother Tony?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything you want to say in reference to the Jehovah's Witnesses and or either what Master Farah Muhammad really taught them? Because I've, you know, what I gather from all of this is that based on the history of what I've heard, I do honestly believe that he was amongst them, and I do believe that he taught them, and I do believe that, that you know, he was there for a specific purpose, but it was not necessarily anything for us as a people to gravitate towards. So is there anything you want to add, Brother Tony?
Yes, yes, ma'am. I would say I'm not as much of a stickler as most. You know, I believe that any person that accepts whatever faith they feel most comfortable expressing, religion is given to us like dance is given to the people of the earth. We all have different expression, and we have to do our practice in a way that is most comfortable for us. The Nation of Islam is a very disciplined and structured organization. There's a lot of internal and external attack that is taken or brought upon the Nation of Islam, and it's a very difficult organization to abide in. It is not for everybody, but we do have many supporters, and the scripture says that there are many that are not of this fold. And I think, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, he says that if you can't find unity in all religions, he says you don't understand your religion. So I would encourage anyone who has accepted a Jehovah's Witness practice to try to be as upright and obedient to God as they possibly can, to study, to show themselves approved, and to listen to God's man in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, along with what the study materials that you may have in your own organization.
Yes, sir. Okay, I wanted to see if area code 404, last number 6665, you have a question or comment?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Oh, yes, I'll just got a quick comment. Just going to reflect back on what brother said earlier about that religion was not meant for black people. During the early days of the Jehovah's Witness faith, that faith did not appeal to the black man because the black man was embedded into the other forms of Christianity. So what the Caucasian Jehovah's Witnesses did was they made the organization appeal to black people in certain ways because they realized that their organization could not get to where it is now without the influence of the black man, because the black man has helped all religious groups get to where they are, because no other nation of people religion like the black man, because the black man is naturally a religious person. It's in our nature to submit to the will of God. And the Caucasians in that faith realized that, so they made their organization appeal, or they appeased us in certain ways to get us attracted to that faith. But it was a trick. They used us to help make their religion a success. So I would tell anybody that decided to get into that organization and thinking about joining that organization, I would tell them to do research and don't let anybody tell them what to read and what not to read, because the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you don't read any publication unless we publish it. But in their watchtower, what their headquarters called Bible Watchtower and Tract Society, they have a Holy Quran in their headquarters, and those governing body
the governing body members read and study the Quran themselves, and they have actually quoted some things out of the Quran, but they, at the same time, they hypocritically tell the members not to read, but they read. So I would tell anybody that was interested in that faith to study on their own and to like the scripture says, to show thy own self approved. Don't allow anyone to tell them not to read any other publication but that one. Just need to have an open mind.
Yes, sir. Thank you, dear brother, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, sister. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Okay, and area code 267, your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir. Wa alaykum
as-salam, sir.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. My dear brothers and sisters, peace and blessings of Almighty God Allah be upon you and yours. And I am very grateful and thankful that you are doing the work that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given to those of us who love him and love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and submit to the will of Allah to the best of our ability. Again, I've been listening to the program, and I'm blessed and grateful to be able to even be alive today to see the unfolding of the prophecy, the reality of the black man returning to his own. I listened to both speakers, alhamdulillah. I listened to both speakers, both the brothers, and the brother that's determined to allow us to really appreciate that we of the tribe of Shabazz rebelled and you know ended up here. I just wanted to make one point. It wasn't 50,000 years; it was 44,000 years. To the best of my knowledge, I just tried to use that in my own understanding of what I was taught by an FOI, and he directed me to follow Minister Louis Farrakhan, listen to him, and do as he said to, because he was the true representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I'm a friend. But I also know Orthodox Islam, and I appreciate the word religion. All religions, one brother said, or one speaker, or one person said during the conversation, that when you understand religions, they should all come together. I believe that's what the idea is. But as I did not know, and I'm so grateful for this conversation, that the Jehovah Witnesses was a white supremacist organization. Nor did I appreciate, as the brother said, that it's part of Master Farad Muhammad's work in America, teach white people, okay, the restrictive laws that were necessary for that group of Caucasians to submit and do what they have to do to prepare themselves for their duty. We've got to separate. I need to say that. We've got to separate and follow the minister and do what it is he is instructing us to do, clean up and do what we've got to do to develop the nation that we can call our own. Thank you for letting me share. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Thank you, dear brother. Wa alaikum salam. Okay, we have about 1 minute. Yes, please.
I want to respond to the brother. I personally don't know what the time is, as far as the tribes of Baz are concerned. The 55,000 years is a number that we were given by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his current representative, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So the number that we stated is the number that was given to us, and it is as we have been taught. So I just wanted to make it clear.
Yes, sir. Well, we are about out of time. And, wow. Okay. I'm going to take one more call, just one more, because we really, really have to go. So, San Antonio, Texas, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Carl.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother, and the panel. I'm just getting in work, and I heard just a little bit, the last maybe 3 minutes. But I just wanted to say that all of the religions are not the same. Christianity was actually set up by those who enslaved our people. Christianity was set up by those who came with the cross with a snake attached to it. And as the minister taught us, it said, I believe it was Windhoek Encase Noble, which means with this sign we conquer. Mm-hmm. And everywhere they went with the sign of the cross, they conquered the people. So that was a religion of Satan. And in this so-called book, Bible, they stole that knowledge, I'm sure y'all know this, out of Africa or out of Asia when all the landmass was won. And they took, it was a king who couldn't read the writing on the wall. And so he recognized some of us that they had took from the coastlines of so-called Africa and back to Athens, Greece, and Rome. And we were the gladiators and the master builders of the pyramids, but also the Colosseums over there. Mm-hmm. And so since he could not read the language or the writing on the wall, he recognized one of us and told him if he didn't tell us, or tell him what it was said on this wall, because they knew that just looking at the pyramids, it was great power and wisdom, right? We know that wisdom is power, or knowledge is power. So what I'm saying is that they took this knowledge, you know, because the first brother they got a hold to, he wouldn't tell them, even though they threatened him to kill him and his whole family. And in one of our prayers, my life, my sacrifice, and my death is all for Allah, was uttered. But there's always, in every religion, there's a weak one. And that brother told the king what was written. And they went back to Greece, Athens, Rome, and produced this book called Bible, first called the letter B, then BB, then Biblis, then called Bible. But what did they do with it? They took us out and put themselves in. And painted everybody white. And we can prove that real easy that they took us out and put themselves in. All we got to do is look at the story of Noah. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Okay,
yes,
all we got to do is look at the story of Noah. Look, if we were to all go to the zoo tomorrow, where do 99% of all the animals come from? Where do all those giraffes come from? Where do all those thousands of different or hundreds of different monkeys come from? Where do those rhinoceroses and hippos come from? Where do the lions and the tigers come from? Can anybody say it?
The motherland.
Right. Africa.
Okay. So that tells you where the damn boat landed. What are the original colors of people of Africa? Black. So that tells you the color of Noah. So coming back to what I was saying, no. Not all the religions are the same. Islam, or the nation of Islam, when Master Farah Muhammad came from the East, God in person, he came to break all of that up. He came to break up all of the lies of these so-called religions who have control over our people. So lastly, as the minister said, I'll wrap it up on this. The minister said this, and y'all heard this in church. The sons of God came before God. And God said, which cometh thou, Satan? And the minister did the sign of the cross. And just imagine, I come up, and my hand is down, and I'm raising my hand up, straight up, and down. Two, I'm going to the left, and fro, and to the right. That's the sign of the cross. So all I'm saying is, beloved, we got to take that cross, throw it away. We got to take away this slave master religion and throw it away. I'm sorry, I can't be sweet to you and to make you feel good with a lie.
That's right.
You're lying on Easter. You're lying on Christmas. Stop lying. And we got to stop being sweet to everybody and trying to be, you know, to get along. Damn it. If you don't, look, I'm not trying to get along with you if you don't want me to tell you the damn truth. If you don't want the truth and then you love the truth, then you really don't love it. And you don't love me because I'm here with the truth, man. And so I just wanted to say that and clarify that. So don't ever say out your mouth again that all these religions are the same. They are not the same. One is from Satan, and the other is not. Which one are you going to go with? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carl. Okay. All praises due to Allah. I know we've gone over, but I have to give the lineup for the rest of the week. So join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. for our live study group with Student Minister James. Of course, he's going to talk about the time of what must be done, part 51. And Brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad is going to come on and introduce his book about the mother wheel. And, of course, on Saturday at 8 p.m., don't miss part two of Courtship and Social Media with our host for Young, Gifted, and Black, Sister Yatira X McDaniel. And on Sunday, we're going to be back with No Romance Without Finance at 6:30 p.m. And Brother Vernon will, of course, talk about economic development on that. And then on Monday, I don't know if Brother Kareem's mic is still on, but I always forget. Oh, Monday, 8 p.m. 8 p.m., Our Savior Has Arrived is Brother Kareem's topic. And Brother Jahad will be back on Tuesday. We're out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam. Don't know what his topic is yet, but I will know way before Tuesday. And on Wednesday, of course, DJ Black Caesar and friends will be back with our hip-hop comedy show. And next week, I'll be here with my co-host, Brother Reginald, and we're going to be talking about music and spirituality with Brother Victor Muhammad out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And that's our lineup for the rest of the week. Happy New Year. Thank you, my listening audience. It was so good to hear your voices, and Happy New Year. I hope we can keep this trend up. I love for you all to talk. You all were really talking tonight. So thank you, listening audience in the chat room. You know, I've been catering to y'all for a long time, so I'm glad y'all were patient and yielded to the phone calls tonight. And I will continue to answer your questions throughout the evening. I want to thank Brother Tony Muhammad for being so gracious. Brother Tony is such a hard, hard man. Look, Brother Tony plays hard, but he's like a marshmallow, really. But thank you, Brother Tony, for gracing us with your presence and participation tonight. And Brother Reginald, once again, welcome to the Nation Building Movement family and Nation Building Radio. And, of course, you'll be back here with me next week. And so that's going to be going on all year long. So may Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. May you have a successful and blessed and prosperous new year. As we leave you, as we came before you, in our nation's greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.